are tired of women.
That's no good.
Clap for that, you stupid bastard.
To front basket.
Hi.
Hi. We should probably address the elephant in the room.
Now this time you're the elephant.
Yeah, maybe we'll say it at the same time out loud on three or something.
One, two, three.
I'm haircut. Gay.
Oh.
Haircut. Yeah.
I thought I could.
So.
Yeah. Sean's been waiting a long time for this announcement to come out.
I finally got my haircut. It needed to happen. I was losing my mind. It was just like getting everywhere, and it wasn't like cute anymore. Like, it felt like it was just too much. I couldn't style it anymore. So
you look so cute now.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I feel good. Feels very good to have it short again, although the timing is a little weird because normally people cut their hair in the summer, right? It's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's fall now, basically. In a few days it'll be fall.
Well, we're gonna have an Indian summer here, I'm sure of it.
That's true. Yeah. So it'll serve me well.
It'll be like 90 in October.
Yeah. Yuck.
It's like, all things considered, this summer's been pretty mild here.
I guess so, yeah. There were a few days, but nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. But ones that were really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice birthday weekend?
I did, yeah. I forgot that it's been since before my birthday that we streamed.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. We went to this place in Hollywood Hills, Laurel Canyon or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this place to ourselves for a couple days. It's really nice. Played D&D with some friends. Had like two parties. So I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I'm 24 now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hello.
Right before we started this podcast, I actually saw a tweet that was like, "Did anybody else have like one hell of a time being 23 in like a bad way? Like, did anybody else have like a devastatingly terrible 23?"
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Mine wasn't devastatingly terrible per se. Let me see if I could find that tweet. It's just like, at 23, there is that song that's like, nobody likes you when you're 23. And they're right.
Yeah, who made that song?
I forget. Nobody likes you when you're 23.
What is that song? Too,
I think it is, yeah. Yeah, somebody tweeted, did anyone else just have an absolute nightmare time being 23? And it has 17,000 likes. So I think, like, collectively, people experience 23 in a very similar way.
I remember 23 being, like, a pretty existential period of time. It's just sort of, like, you feel like you're... I think, like, because you pass the threshold of 22, you feel like you're... And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, people graduate college at 22.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're like, oh, good luck in the world. And then they're like, oh...
And then you're 23, it's like, I have not even begun.
No, exactly.
To learn anything about this world.
And then being 31, it's like, oh, yeah, 23 is... You don't need to have any fucking clue what you're doing.
Yeah, so good luck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, 23 24 is a fun age, I think, because it's so, there's something about the number 24 that is like perfectly rounded. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. everybody loves that number. Nobody hates the number 24.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping for a great year and to not die.
I'm sure you'll be okay.
Yeah, but like, I get why people think, like, people felt like 23 kind of sucked for them. Like you said, like, graduating college, and I am like about to graduate college. I'm 24, but so I'm a little bit behind. But like, it's a very weird time because right now I'm thinking about like, well, when I graduate, I'm gonna need to get a job, but I really don't want to start looking for a job right now. You know, and so you do have to start your life, and it's stupid and gay. When our lives can't even begin to start here.
I mean, you could theoretically go and do what you were doing.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
I know. I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I'm lucky I have that. But
I mean, you have, like, fortunately kind of a lot of options, so that's nice.
Yeah.
But, it was a...
I'm also a little hungover, so sorry, everybody.
Yeah, no, you didn't... You were out until, like, 6 in the morning, so...
Seven. I got home at 7 a.m.
Oh, my God.
I know. That's another thing about being 24. Like, there are some things you just don't do again.
Mm-hmm.
After doing them too many times, you just realize, I'm not doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Hello, everybody.
Sean's haircut de-aged him. Thank you. Jordan actually said the same thing.
I said it was going to
look younger.
Yeah, well, I said it was going to definitely do that. And it sure did.
I am once again your 16-year-old husband.
Mm-hmm, yes, exactly. So. my 16-year-old husband that I groomed.
That you groomed. You had to move to Brazil and marry and have kids with.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Like Glenn Greenwald.
like Glenn Greenwald, the groomer.
The groomer.
Yes.
I figured out a new way to wear my ring so that it doesn't fall off. I'm putting my other ring in front of it.
Yeah.
Although it's gold and silver. But they don't look bad next to each other. I think they're fine.
No, they don't.
But it keeps it from falling off.
Yeah.
And this ring is like, it has like a seam on it so I can kind of like stretch it and open it and pull it off my finger when I need to, or I can tighten it to stay on.
Yeah.
So it keeps the engagement ring on.
I unfortunately don't have mine because it's getting resized right now.
Yeah, Jordan took off his ring so he could fool around.
So I could cheat on Sean.
So you could cheat.
Because so all I do is eat hot chip and lie.
All Jordan do is eat hot chip and lie. thank you,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you, Evie.
Yeah, so I think the first thing I want to get into is the Met Gala.
Yeah, that's fun. I would love to actually also talk about some of their outfits and see what you might think about them.
Yeah, I pulled up, I think, kind of the relevant ones.
Fantastic.
Like the two that are political related and then a couple of other people's. Mm-hmm. Let's get the AOC thing out of the way just because there like really isn't a hot take on it necessarily.
There isn't, yeah. Every take has been made.
It's just grotesque.
Every take has been taken.
You know, like I had to admit, TikTok. I feel semi-vindicated. I mean, it was one of those things of like, you know, essentially right when she got into politics, I started to hear how she was talking about things. I'm like, oh, progressives are fucked. Like if this is sort of their white knight of how they're going to save this, she's a total like psyop essentially, because like to be a progressive is so simple, and it's why Bernie's campaign had such momentum, was that he was not talking to anybody specifically other than those who didn't have the finances to support themselves.
Yeah. Then
she comes along and starts to like divide everybody into racial groups and be like, okay, if you're poor and white, you're not as important to me as somebody who's poor and whatever, you know, like whatever you know, minority status that you are. And then I think people started to kind of get wind of her stuff, but like, you know, during that time period, this is like, you know, probably 4 years ago or so, I would get called the worst sort of right-wing things just based on, you know, tepid criticism of her, of just kind of like, but to me, I saw it as the beginning of the end of any momentum that Bernie had created for a progressive movement.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it seems like kind of a fitting end to this whole thing where she's wearing a white hair pull up.
Yeah, it's not even like a good gown. It's not even like that great.
Where's, how do I go over?
It just doesn't even. So this is her white gown at the Met Gala. On the backside, in Chick-fil-A font and color, it says "Tax the Rich."
And it's like, you know, like, you know, and there's so much to this fucking story. Like, there might be like a few things you guys don't know about. You know, first of all, it's like, it's just such a it's so grotesque. Just. I really do wonder what she was thinking, because it is one of those things of like, okay, if you know, because it seemed like the dunking was nearly universal, other than blue check marks who don't really take her seriously as a politician anyway.
I don't even think I saw any of like my Instagram acquaintances who are like aspiring blue checks. I don't even think they posted about this in praising her.
No, I think it was pretty.
They all kind of just left it.
Because I think that it was truly just sort of. It was so. I mean, look, you know. I can't think of a better time in American history through which celebrity culture is less relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And also just reflexively grotesque to the populace that are suffering way more than them.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't really get to have a voice about it, but celebrities do with the most absolute garbage shit takes of all time. And so for her to go to easily, other than the Academy Awards, like easily one of the most grotesque displays of opulence and celebrity, you know, in a dress that says "Tax the Rich," it's like post irony. I don't even really know what to call it exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's number one. Number two, then, as she always does, whenever she gets any criticism about anything she does, she makes it about her race and her gender and blah blah blah.
She like deflects.
She deflects, and then you know, try to make a point about how the designer of the dress was an immigrant woman of color. turns out she immigrated from Toronto and then is married to a hedge fund manager and worth over $100 million.
Such an arduous journey,
yeah,
to Toronto.
And, so,
and to be married to a 100 millionaire.
So all these arguments go out the window. And then also just the optics of her walking around while a servant wearing a mask is carrying, what do you call the tail of the dress?
The shit. What do you call it? The train.
Yeah,
carrying her train.
Yeah, the train of the dress. Like, so a servant wearing masks, and this is also on the heels of Nancy Pelosi having that garden party with all masked servants serving them that are largely not white to a bunch of white old people.
Yeah,
who are just obscenely rich. And so it just goes to show, it really is just the death of the movement. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm, again, I'm like pretty blackpilled. I have been for a while about progressives. Like, the second that they started to incessantly inject identity politics into the movement, I'm like, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you would have so much more impact if the people that you all declare as deplorable as, you know, these, if they supported Trump or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Easily ignoring the very glaring, obvious fact of these people voted for Trump largely because he lied and talked to them about bringing their jobs back. And
something that progressives or the Democratic Party just did not even think to address.
Right. And so after...
It's either you lie to these people or on the right side, you lie to them. On the left side, you don't talk to them at all.
Exactly.
Those are the only two options, yeah, we have.
Or you talk to... You talk to... For example, black people in a way that normal black people are uninterested in hearing about.
Yeah.
Because they have the same concerns as white poor people, which is just money. It's just, it's like where, you know, everyone can look around and see, okay, well, house price, like, you know, having a single family home is completely out of reach at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have any kind of minor sort of, you know, health emergency, it's going to be at a minimum like a $15,000 deductible out of pocket.
Yeah.
If they even cover it at all, or if you actually even have health insurance. And then while the elites are screaming about a public health crisis and not talking about either Medicare for all or like any kind of like at least subsidized health care, also at the same time not having a conversation about how unhealthy we are as a country.
Right.
So, but at the same time demanding that we get vaccinated for it, just it's all like, I think that the problem is that when you and I kind of see all these different angles of what's going on and how peculiar it is, it frustrates us. It makes us, well, for me anyway, I get like kind of gaslit by the whole thing because it just makes you feel like you're going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then but then the shock shouldn't be all that surprising to people of like why people would go for QAnon, because all these things are so overwhelming. It's like I need one sort of explanation as to why the world is not treating me fairly.
Yeah.
Other than it just being these disgusting bunch of lizard trolls who like just absolutely are interested in not just money, but consolidating their own personal power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious. And so it's funny to see like AOC, who just endlessly makes it about herself, which I knew from the very beginning, really just go to an event and like the Hunger Games. I mean, it's just crazy. So
yeah, this is the capital in the Hunger Games. Like, and then did you see that thing I posted on my personal Instagram? The fucking doctor or nurse at the hospital wearing like a white doctor's robe that on the back is written in red, just like AOC's fucking gown. Vax the arms. I want to kill myself, dude.
Dude, I'm just so.
I see like, things like that. Like, the caption to it was like, "I'm Prague, like progressive, but like AOC stans are mentally ill."
Yes,
and they are.
They
and,
are.
Like, it's not just AOC stans. It's like this entire, like. This entire faceless and really just spineless movement that they claim to be behind to like pretend that this is revolutionary.
It's I think that what's difficult is like, again, I get myself into trouble so often just because I'm a super disagreeable person, meaning that like if somebody says something, you know, and it's like from a psychological standpoint, it's like, you know, agreeable people just kind of go like, okay, whatever, to like avoid conflict.
Yeah.
I just, if someone says something stupid, I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
And so, or just, you know, or just disagree. And then that gets me called like contrarian or whatever else, but it's not true. It's mostly just seeing, I think it truly actually is having ADHD of just seeing the macro of everything, which is overwhelming. But at the same time, it's like calling that this was going to go this direction pretty much off the bat with AOC. It's just like, yeah, no,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm smart. It's just more that like, this kind of macro thinking tortures me on a daily basis, but at the same time, because I'm disagreeable if I do believe something to be true, but then simultaneously, and then I told you so's go nowhere, so it's just kind of like, it's just a waste of energy, but I can't really help myself. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it really is the perfect personification of where this is going, and just kind of like, okay, well, you know, the elites have just completely won, you know?
Yeah.
And the vaccine shit is just so utterly creepy at this point where I'm, you know, we'll get into this like that later, but it's just, it's odd. Like you watch these people behaving in this way and they're the ones demanding that we get vaccinated, but there's no kind of emphasis on antibodies or like what is the how long does the vaccine last, and then you know then the conversation becomes the pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
But then if you're vaccinated, you can still get it and pass it on. So just nothing, none of it makes any sense.
Messaging is so incoherent.
Yeah, you know? And I think that, and again, it's like, but then they because their messaging is so incoherent and they know it's not working, then they have to blame somebody, which is people who don't want the vaccination, but the unvaccinated are not getting it because their messaging is so utterly terrible.
Yeah.
And so it's just sort of this like clusterfuck of a mess. And meanwhile, you know, we watched Gavin Newsom win the recall.
Oh God, I forgot that happened.
Which we knew it was going to happen, of course. But like there was no kind of, and then instantly he goes to impose a vaccine mandate on indoor dining.
Just crazy.
It is. I mean, it is to me like, you take aside like even the civil liberty element, right? So like when Sean met me, I was working at a restaurant where it was like about a 40-seater restaurant, and there was I was the waiter, the bartender, and the host. So when it was packed, it was insane.
Yeah.
So you're telling me if I worked that job today, I have to be a fucking bouncer too? What the fuck are we thinking? And like, because here's what's gonna happen: nobody's gonna like. I mean,
no,
because
yeah.
like if
There's
I go to
no
a,
way.
If I go to a place and they demand to see it, I'm gonna be like, no, that like I'm nope, you don't get to see that. And I think that I think that honestly, I don't think restaurants don't have time for this shit. Like, and also too, it's like how much they've suffered during all this. It's like, are they seriously gonna like? You know, and with that aside, if you're a healthcare worker, you work in, you know, in nursing homes, whatever, it should be like a requirement, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just to inflict this stuff upon the general public, after pulling back from June 15th, where everything was like wide open and there actually was a carrot for us getting vaccinated, and then completely ripping that away from us, it's like, what is the incentive for us to do anything at this point? You know, it is just like, it doesn't make any sense. And so I, you know, and again, we'll get into this later, but like when they were proposing the third booster thing, I told you I'm not doing it because personally, like if the efficacy of this vaccine is so fucking low, I'd rather, since we both got both doses of the Pfizer, I'd rather just get the Delta variant, have the antibodies.
It'd be safer.
And I think I would actually be safer. So I'm like, and then, you know, based on the information that I've been told, having the vaccine would make it so it wouldn't kill me, ideally. Yeah. So that seems to be the more prudent course of action, is almost like get both vaccines, and then if someone has Delta variant, then just like invite them over and have a Delta party. I mean, I really can't find a flaw in that logic, to be perfectly honest. It just doesn't seem, you know, in this.
And for some reason, we've kind of abandoned the idea that antibodies are a valid, like immunity from antibodies is a valid, like protective, method.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you get it, you become immune to it,
right?
Like people did with like chicken pox and shit. So like what, because Kim Iverson was talking about this a few weeks ago, like why we've just completely abandoned that theory of immunization.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what happened. Like my parents got it at some point. They're probably safer than we are.
Yeah, no, they totally are, which is what's hilarious.
Because you and I haven't had it, or maybe we did at the very start,
but we wouldn't
since
have antibodies
then,
anymore,
we wouldn't have them anymore. We wouldn't protect against the fucking Delta variant, the Mu variant, the Lambda variant, or the Monster variant, according to Fauci.
Fauci, Monster variant. I forgot
the
about
Monster
that.
Variant. What a fucking loser that dude is.
God.
I'm so over it.
Anyway, we should get back to
did
that.
Do we want
to
talk? Yeah.
Yeah, so sorry, that was a tangent. And we'll kind of get back to that a little bit later on, because there's interesting booster news. So that was AOC's performative thing. And then this one was so great to me too.
Oh, this bitch. So this Do you know who this bitch is?
I did not know before this. She's some congresswoman, but
she is unhinged. There's stuff really? About her. Yeah, we'll look it up after this. Breaking: Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney rocks the Met Gala tonight wearing a gown calling for equal rights for women, sending Texas Republicans a clear message. Retweet if you support her fight for equality.
And I love that it's the Occupy Democrats, which is just like, what the fuck? So if people are just listening, what does her thing say?
Her gown is hideous, by the way.
It's absolutely atrocious. It looks like a pastiche of high school banners.
It's like a Dijon yellow, silver, purple, and green dress. It's really ugly. And it looks like literally like a high school banner. Like, this is something you would see on the fences of a fucking...
How dare you, Mr. Spears? You had me fooled. And you too, Mrs. Spears. Death to all of them.
Death to all of them. Oh! It says, equal rights for women, painted down each banner that she's wearing.
Again, just a total empty fucking stupid phrase. Like,
yeah,
like, let's end racism, okay? Like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Thanks.
Yeah, like, yeah, thank you for that. Like,
tomorrow's gonna be a better day.
Yeah, because you put that on your dress.
This bitch. Yeah. So hideous dress to begin with. Mm-hmm. Terrible colors. I don't know who designed it. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're designing for this woman here, you deserve to have your dress trashed for what it is.
Yes.
This lady, Carolyn Maloney, if you don't mind looking it up.
Yeah.
She is something else. Carolyn Maloney, it's going to be Afghanistan, like 10 or 20 years ago. She's wearing a burqa.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember this girl?
I do now.
This woman?
Yes, I do.
This bitch comes in and says, thank you for not just dropping bombs, but also dropping food.
Yeah, so hang on one second.
This is Rep. Carolyn Maloney, however many years ago, at least 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I'll just play it.
This is her. This is the woman we just saw.
I thank Hilda for organizing this.
And she's wearing a burqa, head to toe.
For the women in Afghanistan. Mr. Speaker, the attacks of September 11th broke the hearts and boggled
what
the minds
is she doing?
Of most every American. It left us all wondering just what kind of people would turn planes into bombs and slaughter thousands of people.
This is a white woman in a burqa.
They showed up for work.
In the U.S. House.
The answer is the Taliban. The terrorists among the Taliban. The terrorists they harbor. And the terrorists they refuse to surrender.
Unhinged. She's
but
just...
anyone who was familiar prior to September 11th with how the Taliban treat women should have recognized that the Taliban are capable of doing...
Hey, you see the irony of this, right?
Yeah.
Like, so she's wearing her beekeeper costume here, cosplaying as a Muslim woman.
I'm wondering what the message here is that she's trying to convey with that. Like, do you think that she's, like, doing it in solidarity with these women? Or, like, that they're, like, actually free? Or I don't know what she thinks about wearing this.
It's possible the solidarity argument is maybe what it is, but again, like, just so fucking tone deaf at the same time.
Yeah.
Considering what the message she's trying to deliver right now is.
Yeah, it gets
just
worse.
About anything. The Taliban have controlled 90% of Afghanistan since 1996. Women and girls cannot venture outside without a burqa, which they are forced to wear.
Yeah.
It's an expensive, heavy, cumbersome garment which covers the entire body. And it includes a mesh panel covering the eyes. The veil is so thick that doctors and nurses are not permitted to work. So a girl was stoned to death because she went out in public with a man who was not her family member.
Okay, so, like...
Anyway, like, the main quote that she mentions here is, like, thank you for dropping food in addition to dropping bombs.
Incredible.
Which, like, is what she's...
Just absolutely she's incredible crazy. And perfect.
She's so crazy. Crazy.
But, I mean, so, yeah, that's kind of... This is, like, the level of just absolute headassery we're dealing with our leadership. So this was the only transgressive thing at the entire event.
And I'm glad you think so, because I think I agree.
Well, because like
this next thing we're about to show you guys.
Yeah, when we first started talking about it, or like, you know, when this event was going on and all the stuff was on Twitter everywhere, which was like, it was weird. Didn't it kind of like seem like it was like a manufactured consent thing where like it just became like Twitter moments are like no one really would have given a shit about this outside of like small circles.
Yeah.
And then Twitter just makes these things, these giant huge sort of events.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was going through it and just absolutely disgusted. It's so much shit here. And then Kim Kardashian dressed, speaking of burkas.
Yeah.
Like this, which I,
she shows up like in a black bodysuit covering her whole head and face and the rest for body, and sort of like a gown with a train, but not really a gown. She's like in a bodysuit mostly, so you can see all of her legs. I think this is the coolest outfit that I saw,
because it's more of like a statement. And again, what was the theme of this again? It was like,
the theme was like fashion in America, or like in America, a lexicon of fashion was like the theme. It's really stupid, and like, I think Anna Wintour should be ashamed that like she has terrible themes and like gives everybody a passing grade.
Yeah, because they don't ever get it right. Like,
yeah,
I think we've even talked about it. Probably for the last 2 years we've talked about it when this happens. But yeah, no, I remember looking at it, and I remember saying to you on the couch, I was like, this is probably the most transgressive thing here, right?
Yeah.
Because it is sort of the, I mean, first of all, like, she's one of the most, she's basically America's royal family,
yeah,
you know, and she is the only one to literally not make it really about herself, but it did make it about herself.
Yeah. To me, this is one of two things. It's either her trying to be transgressive and like, this isn't about me, or it's her being like, see, you can recognize me just from my silhouette.
Which both are fucking rad.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's like made any kind of public statement about it, but this is like the only one where I was like, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I like this one a lot.
And again, cause like this is like sort of supposed to be like an art thing, right? Like, so
this is, each ticket costs like $35,000, and it's to benefit the Met, so that they can, you know, maintain their exhibits and create new ones and stuff like that. So I guess, but the Met probably already has an insane endowment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Met is the most famous museum in the United States.
Yes.
Well, there's then, like, no way that they need this kind of money right now.
That was the other thing. Like, AOC made that argument. She was like, oh, well, you know, this is too... Or it wasn't even her. I think it was mostly just people who were trying to defend her. Was like, oh, well, you know, the Met is like... This makes it, because apparently you can pay whatever you want to get in or something like that.
Oh yeah, at the Met you can like pay what you can.
Yeah.
To get tickets to go see exhibits and stuff.
But it's like, even if these whores didn't do this event, the amount of money that rich New York elites would just donate to it,
yeah,
for taxes mostly.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's gonna be fine. You know what I mean? And if they didn't, then state fund. I mean, it's just like it's just an insane, like, just, there's really no excuse for this event to happen. I mean, like, this is on par, like, it was really, and again, too, just, you know, I used to like things like the Academy Awards or whatever, because I like movies, and then just to watch them get reduced down to what it was really symbolic of how irrelevant celebrity culture is, and
yeah,
this was not toned down at all, but at the same time, it just, each time, like, these events are so fucking grotesque.
And they've had two of these since the pandemic started. They had one last year as
I would imagine. I don't know. I remember what that looked like, though.
I don't really either. It wasn't as popular as this one was. I think just, like, now people are fucking over it. And, like, I hate seeing celebrities going to just hang out with each other and be rich together when we're all fucking... shit broke.
Well, and that,
and they don't have to wear masks, everybody else does.
And I think what made this one so striking was, like, you see the servant class or the people that just aren't, like, we're because, yeah, like, normally if you were to look at pictures of this event, you could maybe mistake somebody who's working there as somebody who's supposed to be there, like whatever else. Yeah. It was just kind of blended together. Now it's such a stark sort of, just from an optic standpoint, it's so stark to see the haves and the have-nots, you know?
Exactly.
And so, and just the absolute, and again, these fucking morons, like, are the loudest fucking voices about politics or how we should feel or who should get vaccinated. And it's like, but they're also the people who are the most detached from any semblance of reality. So it's just, it again, it just, it makes you feel like you're going insane.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, and then I got a few more on here.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see.
What's the next one I have? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
So Elliot Page decided to go.
Oh, no, Elliot Page.
And just can't not dress like a disgruntled teenager.
Like, dude, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's just like...
What is up with this?
Oh, the shoes are cut off, unfortunately, but you can describe it.
The shoes were, what, like Dunks?
He's
wearing Dunks?
They almost looked like those... Remember those Nike shoes with the shocks in the back?
Yeah.
It looked like that.
Dude, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
This, Elliot, is your chance to come out looking like fantastic in a well-tailored suit like that that makes your shoulders more masculine. Like, you being a trans man is like, this is not doing you any justice, and your stylist failed miserably. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Just don't look
and then
good,
also too
dude.
The theme, like, what, you know, what does this have to
there's
do
there's no with, theme here yeah
no it just and so
he
why
didn't really try
why would he even go that's what I don't understand
yeah it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me honestly.
Other than he's sort of like a celebrity darling at the moment.
His sleeves are too long, the shoulders don't like land where they need to, pant legs way too baggy, not sure why you're wearing Dunks. It just doesn't make any sense, Elliot.
It's just,
why are you like this?
Looks like a boy at like a teenage prom.
Yeah,
it's just
teenage prom.
It's
yeah.
just even the green rose. I mean, literally, he's ready for the teenage prom.
Yeah,
just you
really could have like stepped out and made like your first appearance. Something else.
Yeah. So
I'm so sorry, Elliot Page. Sashay
away. Hopefully,
away.
He figures it out. Yeah. Speaking of sashay
away. Oh no! Do you have that video? Yes.
Oh
you
yes,
do
I
have
do.
That video yeah. pulled up. This is Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, our favorite power couple.
Easily the most forgettable woman on the planet. I mean, it's just, you know, this is a better angle of her outfit, but she looked like she just, I don't know.
Yeah, this for her is also like teen dance,
yes.
like high school dance.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like a Met Gala outfit for her. It's a purple sequins like and ostrich feather thing. It's just not really doing it for you.
She looks like she would be a backup dancer for a cabaret show in Reno.
Dude. Yeah. Ugh. She gets on my nerves so much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and obviously Shawn Mendes is just his intrepid hotness. It's hard to escape.
Right.
But simultaneously, she is just such a... obviously a beard, number one. Number two, she's just so utterly untalented.
Yeah.
And just, again, just foist it upon us as, like, this person we're supposed to like. And, you know, and again, I say beard, and here's why I say beard.
Yeah, this... We have reason.
So this is, I guess, them back...
Backstage
at
the Met Gala.
So listen...
Or, like, in the museum.
Listen to Sean here.
It's giving Cher.
Let me get that one more time.
So the context is she's getting a picture taken of her, and he's looking. No. Somebody's on FaceTime. She's probably on FaceTime with her stylist, and somebody's holding the phone, pointing it at her, and they're like talking to her. And Sean comes in and goes, "It's giving Cher," in reference to how she looks.
It's giving Cher.
The Met is metrosexual.
And it's
the metrosexual gala.
It's just, and it's funny too. It's like all the replies are like, I just can't anymore.
Dude, I saw another tweet that was like, he is never shaking the allegations.
No. And again, it was so funny because like when he did that Rolling Stone interview or whatever, he was just so overly defensive about it.
Yeah.
That it was like, and again, look, you know, a guy can be kind of effeminate and that's not at all reason to assume they're gay. But again, when he's saying, It's giving Cher. It's like giving Cher.
It's
like, okay.
Come on, man.
Why would that be the first reference in your head, you know? And I think the tweet that showed me the video was somebody saying, I think it was literally, I just can't anymore.
I can't do this anymore.
Like, and I think in reference to defending him or whatever.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, and did I don't think I played that video because I can't on the podcast of that song from the Cinderella movie. Where they do the cover of Am I Wrong?
Oh, yeah, you showed me that, yeah.
I showed you. There's, like, so Idina Menzel, for some reason, sucks as well. But, like, we all kind of expected Camila Cabello to not be good in this movie, right? There's a part in that song where it's like, Am I Wrong? That song. She, like, takes the liberty to do this awful riff. She goes, Am I Wrong? And she's out of key. She's off key.
Yeah, which, I mean, I can assume that she just...
It's
not a terribly talented singer, but at the same time, it's the producer's fault to not, like, it was like pure laziness, because like when somebody does a chaotic run like that, it is very difficult to tune it.
So that's Idina. Here we go. It gets worse every time.
That
Am I Wrong?
It needs to be like it's
worse every time.
It's flat. It needed to be like just and like all that would have taken is a producer just going yep, yeah, and it would have fixed it.
It's so bad.
Did anyone go and see that movie, by the way?
No, it's on Amazon, like streaming, I think, but I don't think it's in theaters. Streaming. It's just an Amazon movie.
And it's always tough because like, I would love to just see numbers on that, but I think it got reviewed poorly though, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
That whole song, I've watched it a few times. Really bad. Just not good. None of the actors can really, like, sing.
No.
So it's like, what was the point of all of this?
No. Something I did want to mention, which is so funny, like, back to AOC, was, what did your uncle say in your tweets about it?
Oh, no. I'm pulling that up right now.
His uncle is just big.
Like, this is epic. And it's like, no.
No, it was worse than that somehow.
Oh, God. Okay, so... to AOC's, like, Met Gala photos, I quote tweeted and said, fashion is dead and we are propping up the body and making it dance like a rotting puppet. Mm-hmm. And he replied, no, that's awesome. Tax the fucking rich bastards. It's like, you missed the point.
Like, just somebody who would have no... Again, the kind of person that slogan works for.
Yeah. Tax the rich.
No awareness that's
that... That's awesome.
That she's at a $30,000 a ticket event... surrounded by the apps like by people who would only invite her there and not mind that she's wearing a dress like that and call it transgressive because their money is not threatened in the slightest.
Yeah.
So what a moron. I'm sorry.
It's so yeah, I know. That it's just really embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It is just like completely missing it. And the thing is, like, I don't think I could have a conversation with him to convince him otherwise.
No. They're totally stuck. Yeah, and that's what I've been telling people, and they get really reflexive when I say this, that it's been so much easier for me to communicate with conservatives than Democrats lately.
Yeah.
It's just, or liberals. It's just because it's like there is wiggle room through which, like, you can sort of present progressive ideas in a way of, like, this would help you too. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, right. Oh, then the problem is that why would they take any of these ideas seriously when the people who are supposed to fight for them aren't doing shit?
Right.
So, you know, or saying dumb shit like cauliflower's racist, and they're like, then they reflexively.
And they're right.
And they're right. We should have more jicama. I think that was her point. I don't remember, but. Yeah, she's just an absolute fucking moron. But anyway, like, you know, about the servants wearing masks or whatever. So this, the FDA did something interesting. So let me pull up that tweet.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole thread's actually pretty interesting.
So breaking, FDA panel votes against approving a Pfizer booster dose for COVID-19 weeks after President Joe Biden promised all Americans would be able to get boosters beginning in late September. And the thread continues, the vote wasn't close. I'll have to go back to double check the count, but it was at least 2-1 or 3-1 ratio against boosters. The panel still may move forward and approve booster doses for elderly Americans only. We will see. Several members of the panel essentially expressed the idea that yes, the data is good for boosters for the elderly, but we can't extrapolate that data all the way down to people 16 and older. The failed vote would have approved the shot for everyone 16 or older. The final vote was 16-3 against approval. We will see what the vote on senior approval is, assuming that's where they go next. 16-2 after it was determined one vote was made in error. An 8-1 ratio sends Pfizer's pitch down in flames. And you can read more at the Daily Caller. Now the panel is moving to vote on whether the known and potential benefits of a 6-month booster dose outweigh the known and potential risks for those 65 and older or individuals at high risk of severe COVID-19. Unanimous 18-0 vote that yes, the booster doses should be approved for the elderly and at risk.
And I agree.
Yeah.
Like, and again,
make the people who are at risk do that.
Because, like, you know, being old is already a risk in itself. So mm-hmm. what's another risk? You know what I mean? And so, you know, I was talking to my mother about this yesterday because she's all in on, she wants, if you could give her 15 shots tomorrow, she'd take all of them.
Yeah.
And even she like started to agree. And then my grand arcing point of just, you know, to not sound like a conspiracy theorist to her was just to be like, hey, can your generation stop making decisions for us? You're mm-hmm. going to be dead in like 11 minutes. And I've got like in a perfect world, about 50 years left on this planet. So just how about we make decisions from now on about what we should or shouldn't do? Because I'm fucking tired of it. And like, you know, and again, this data comes out of Israel where they have an extremely vaccination compliant populace, short of, you know, super Orthodox people or others. I think they have like a 90%, you know, acceptance rate of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And but simultaneously, they did the booster thing because they got it. They approved it immediately. So they're kind of an interesting sort of thing. Israel's interesting to watch because they were so compliant and they got it so early. Mm-hmm. So once it started to wear off, then the cases started to go up, and then they started the booster program, and now the cases are like as high as they were like at the beginning of the pandemic. So I it does make one wonder of like, I really can't see this booster shot thing in terms of wanting to do it on a countrywide level of people over 16 as anything other than a profit thing for Pfizer. I mean, because I have no other explanation for it. I mean, that's probably too simplistic, but I really like this. I've said it before. This is one of the first times in my life I don't have an answer for anything, or I can't even speculate or even see the macro. So it just creeps me the fuck out on what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm of the opinion that like, dude, when we went to that Asian night market and like didn't like, even if they said to wear a mask, we didn't do it. Yeah. I was hoping, I'm like, give me the Delta. Come on, please let me get it. Because there were thousands of people there, like, you know, ass to elbows. And
we didn't even get sick.
We didn't.
Bummer.
I know. So it's just,
we're bug chasers now.
Yeah, no, I mean, basically, right? Like, it would just almost be like a relief. I'm just like,
I know, it would be.
Let's get this over with. Because again, I mean, like, that's that. And I remember, because I did read some of the article that he had. And basically what he was saying was that, like, you know, some of the top doctors believe that because younger people naturally have more robust immune systems, it's better for them because they're going to live much longer and have to deal with this endemic disease for the rest of their lives, for them to get every variant, and then it'll get less and less and less dangerous until it just inevitably turns into the common cold.
Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense to me. But I don't know. But speaking of COVID in general, we got to talk about Nicki Minaj's
cousin's friend.
Friend's giant swollen balls.
Giant swollen balls. His tanuki balls.
His tanuki balls.
Nicki Minaj tweeted about her vaccine hesitancy. RE not going to the Met Gala because they had requirements of being vaccinated to go.
Right.
Which, if everybody had to be vaccinated, the help shouldn't have had to wear masks.
That's the security theater element of this, but
it's all fake.
It's all fake.
So she tweeted basically something along the lines of like, are you finding it right now?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to check in the notes.
Basically something along the lines of like, my cousin's friend in Trinidad got the vaccine and his testicles were swollen and his testicles got swollen and he's now impotent.
Yes.
His fiance broke up with him and called off the marriage.
Right.
I'm just saying like, you should be able to be well informed about the vaccine and not bullied. You should be able to be like hesitant and not bullied about the vaccine.
So I want to lead real quick that we both are of the opinion that this is just sort of one of those breaking of the simulation, just funny moments in time. So like I have zero opinion about whether or not her cousin's friend's testicles got swollen and now he's impotent. I really don't give a shit. And it's important to also remind people that like, cause you know, I think like even just having Nicki Minaj in the title of our thing on Twitter, someone responded about like, you know, showing all those insane graphs and data.
Yeah.
Trinidad, where she's from, did not get Pfizer or Moderna. They got the Chinese.
Yeah, they have a completely different vaccine.
It's not even really relevant to us at all. But at the same time, it's every right for her to say that. And that's like kind of what I think keeps creeping people out, is it's like, I don't look to Nicki Minaj for insight into anything scientific or intellectual, yeah, obviously. And so this, the elite class, the PMC, and then also scientists, if they had just ignored it, it wouldn't have really caused any sort of controversy. But boy, they did not. And so it made it even stranger of like, and then she doubled down on like, okay, well, like whatever about my cousin's friend, but yeah, why are you guys reacting this way?
Yeah.
And then, and she had some bangers. Like what does she call? She called
a lying homophobic.
It was like a Tomalina or something.
Uncle Tomiana.
Tomiana. Yeah. About Joy-Ann Reid.
Joy-Ann Reid said, "You lying homophobic."
Tomiana.
C word.
Did she say that word?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. And then Uncle Tomiana at the end of that tweet, which was hilarious. So fucking funny. Because no one likes Joy Reid or whatever.
No.
She's evil.
and again, like whatever. I mean, because basically her show is just like, it's like the Jimmy Kimmel of news shows. It's just this like a never ending dick sucking of anything Democrat related. But at the same time, it's important to remember that she wrote some fucking homophobic as fuck shit on her WordPress blog or whatever.
And that's why I'm happy Nicki Minaj mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. No, because of course, like Nicki Minaj is a friend of the gays.
Yeah. And her barbs are probably like 50% gay men.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
more than that.
I would argue that. Yeah. Quite a bit. But simultaneously, it's and then Joy-Ann Reid, instead of just owning that she had thoughts that were ignorant or whatever, she blamed it on the Russians. And then everyone just took. Like everyone that controlled the media narrative just ran with that, and then it just went away. So it was fun to have Nicki Minaj just bring it up again.
Yeah, you're lying, homophobic. You,
beep. Yeah, it was fantastic. So now the story's just sort of devolved into like, and I think that it actually is the more important part of the conversation, which is like, why can't anyone have a dissenting opinion?
Yeah,
and she even said like, look, I'm not really, I'm not gonna not get the vaccine. I'm not anti. I just don't really want to. I want to do it on my own terms, essentially.
Exactly.
In so many words.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. And Francis's message got retracted.
It must have been about her cousin's big tanuki balls.
Here, copy and paste it, and then send it to me over. Well, shit. Send it to Sean on Instagram, I guess.
Like put in like letters in between certain words.
That might be like that might be a better way to do it.
But, yeah, I think it's so fucking funny, this whole thing, because Tucker Carlson went on to talk about
it. Oh, that was so
great.
And then you see, like, these stills of Tucker Carlson with, like, a chyron of, like, Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's balls. Like, it was just so good. And
fantastic.
You know, like, I mean, again, it's like you just, if the goal really was to get more people to get vaccinated, I am just, again, so baffled at the way they're going about this. I just don't understand why they think anything they're doing is a good idea. It's so fucking weird. Like, again, it's kind of like, you know, someone like Richard Spencer, for example, right? And then never-ending sort of media coverage over this lisping queer who, like, claims that he's this white nationalist or whatever. If you just never talked about him, he would not have any relevance.
Yeah.
But they just need these boogeymen for ratings or whatever, I guess, and that must be all that it is.
Yeah.
And so it's just this never-ending cavalcade of stupid bullshit. And so, yeah, I mean, this thing would have not had legs at all, and she would not be, you know, largely red-pilling her very large audience had they just kept their fucking mouth shut about it.
Right.
And so, or to have said, like, you know, we don't really know why this would have gotten caused, but it's not the vaccines we have in the United States, which is the most pertinent, like, blame China. You're a fucking weird testicle growing vaccine, not ours.
And then the fucking like health minister of Trinidad and Tobago like had to go on TV and say they did not find a man with swollen testicles. It's simply not true. And the odds are, the truth is probably that this dude became impotent because he was fucking around on his wife, on his future wife.
Or rather, you know? Why she broke up with him, right? Or broke off the engagement. Or
yeah, that's probably why she broke off the engagement, because he got an STD, and she found out that he was cheating because of that.
Yeah, which...
And so, yeah. Which, swollen testicles are from the STD, whatever, who cares? Yeah. So it's not the vaccine in Trinidad and Tobago that's like making balls inflate.
I do.
Although, give me another shot.
I want those big, freaky balls. I want those
big, juicy balls, dude.
Yeah, she's so, it's so funny though, because like she just really like leaned into it, and then she was like, yeah, then she started like just a hashtag at like Ballgate day three or whatever.
Ballgate.
So like, because I think that she objectively knows like how absurd it is. Yeah. And then now she's like, oh shit, these people are fucking crazy.
Insane. Yeah,
and then,
truly.
And then like some insane Guardian reporter was like threatening to like dox her address and her family.
What?
Over, did you not see that?
No.
Over DM. So she posted this lady's phone number and
no way. Yeah, like, incredible.
Incredible. It was pretty iconic. So yeah, I mean, it just is, it's just like, of course, you know, so we'll do Minaj watch like for the next few weeks. It seems to have kind of cooled down, but like it'll be interesting to kind of see what continues to happen with it.
Yeah, I hope she goes on Tucker's show.
She did already.
Wait, really?
Did she not?
She went on? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's hilarious to me.
I could have sworn she did. Let me see.
I would love to see Nicki Minaj go, did I lie? On Tucker Carlson's show. Did I lie? That's my favorite quote of hers. Did I lie? When she got interviewed by Tidal. Incredible.
No, she didn't go on.
She hasn't been on. Okay. That's fine.
Hopefully I think
she does.
Yeah, he just, yeah, I'm sure she will.
I would love to see that universe.
Well, because I kind of see her going like full, like not full Rose McGowan, because I think Rose McGowan has like mental problems, but like, I think like just in terms of like, you know, fuck y'all, like,
yeah,
I don't want anything to do with this shit.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, if you guys are gonna act like this, like I'm gonna tell all my fans to not vote for any of you fucking crazy people.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, that's I don't really have anything else on that.
I don't either.
I want to talk about this Gabby Petito thing.
What's this thing?
The van life girl who's missing.
Oh shit, yeah.
Dude, I have turned into a fucking 40-year-old cat lady who watches true crime series. I'm obsessed with this case.
Yeah.
I am
dude.
So fucking obsessed with it.
So what happened to this girl?
So she's like, you know, basically like every girl we meet in LA, they want to appear to be like more leafy than they actually are. And then she like did one of those van conversions to like do this month long road trip, like all through all the national parks with her boyfriend, this guy, Brian.
Yeah.
And then on August 29th, she, or 28th, it's kind of, no one really knows, like between the 27th and 29th, she kind of disappeared. Right.
Yeah.
While they were in, Teton, like Wyoming, like at a national park there. The goal was to go from Teton to
Yosemite.
Thank you. So they were at, this is like where it's gotten really confusing because people keep mixing them up. They were at, the other Y one. They were at Yosemite and they were going to Yellowstone. This is like why it's gotten confusing. So then she vanishes without anybody. And then suddenly he arrives, like, cause they're both from Florida. They both lived in Florida. And then the boyfriend, Brian, arrives back with her van to his house in Florida on September 1st without her. Yeah. And then his family and him don't talk to her family as to like where her whereabouts are. And then the missing persons report gets filed on September 11th, which is like a huge lapse of time.
Yeah.
But I have understood that if somebody is allegedly on a vacation and they're an adult, you can't file a missing a person's report very quickly. Like it takes more time.
I didn't know that. That's
strange. I didn't either until I've been trying to figure out why certain things are happening. Yeah, they were in Moab too. And yeah, now the latest development is the boyfriend is missing as well.
What?
And I think what's going to happen is he'll probably go somewhere and blow his brains out, which is going to be unfortunate because then we'll never know where it is. I think I'm so gripped by it just because people like getting murdered is just such an impossibility at this point. Just with technology, and these two people were just very online, you know, obviously because they were trying to like fund this trip with what they would view to be as a lucrative travel blog or something, which wasn't really working. And there's also just so like, because of modern technology and FOIA requests, there's so much, and their social media presence, there's so much this like, you know, visual element of stuff we can get. Like, for example, they had like a domestic dispute. Then we have like the hour and a half body cam footage from the cops who pulled them over.
Yeah.
But yeah, the strange part about it. So like, here's the thing. So the part that I'm still hung up on, which would basically prove his innocence or his guilt, is that on August 30th, her mother received a text message from her saying that no service in Yosemite. And then the mother made the claim right off the bat that this definitely couldn't have been sent from my daughter. But if it was sent as a text message, it would ping a tower.
Yeah.
So like, so he in order for him to get to Florida on September 1st, the drive you put into maps is 36 hours, right?
Yeah.
So he could theoretically have killed her from the 28th and then made it there on the 1st. But it's important to remember, like, this car is not very fuel efficient, especially with the like retrofitting they had done. That's number one. Number two, he would have had to drive through Hurricane Ida. And number three, the 36 hours thing is if you were driving 75 miles an hour with no interruptions, right?
Yeah.
So the likelihood of him doing it in 36 hours to me is very low.
Yeah.
And so if the text message was sent while he was on the road with her phone, then he's guilty. Yeah. But if it was sent from Yosemite, then
who's to say, really?
Then who's to say, really? And the and
on the story, 30th from Yosemite, it must have been her,
right,
to have sent it, or somebody else, or but not him.
But not him. So, like, yeah, and look, I mean, this is depressing, but, you know, it's been 2 weeks. She's dead. I mean, she's definitely dead. Yeah. But it's like, the story just gotten humongous because in Moab during this time period, also two other women were shot and killed. Those two, and then, you know, everyone on Reddit's trying to speculate that he had something to do with it. They were so far apart, there's no possible way it happened. That he was had anything to do with that. But also, too, how people are just, like, totally, like, he did it, which it's, like, I don't know. It's, like, you know, why would he lawyer up the second that she goes missing? It's, like, well, because you could say something incriminating. Like, you don't ever talk to the police if you're a suspect or even a person of interest of any kind of crime like this.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever, ever talk to the police before you get a lawyer. It's silly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm just absolutely fucking fascinated with this case.
What's been most exciting and entertaining for me is, we kind of talked about this the other day, seeing the women on the subreddit speculating about the case, but just so clearly projecting their
own relationship trauma.
Exactly. Their own relationship trauma onto this guy, saying, yeah, my ex was a narcissist. He sucks. He must be this dude. He must be like this dude.
Well, that's what was crazy. So, like, and there were a few people on there that so noticed fun. Women doing this. But I think it's like women love true crime so much. It's like they just kind of see themselves sometimes in these victims or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like the women on there were so insane. They'd like, because I didn't watch the full hour and a half of that footage. But at the same time, I watched enough of it to kind of see like how he was acting, how she was acting.
And, yeah.
And, you know, to me, he looked like how I would act with the police when I'm the man who is in a domestic, like I would get, you know, you would be the one who got blamed.
Yeah.
And so he's just trying to like keep the peace and sort of like make it jokey and light. So then, but then all the women were like, oh, he's a sociopath. Look at him joking about what's going on. Oh, and he's also a narcissist. Clearly he has like no feelings about this. Uh-huh. And it's like, and I was in a relationship with a narcissistic man, and this is exactly what it looked like. And it's like,
yeah,
you're going to diagnose somebody without any kind of credentials. Number one, number two, off of watching a 22-year-old boy essentially interact with five different police officers. Like,
yeah,
it just was like women are just the worst.
Yeah, so, women are the worst.
I have this
people are tired of women.
I have this this Trump drop that I wanted to pull today, but I forgot. Let me show
you. Oh God. Oh God.
Silly woman. Shut up. Silly woman.
I don't know what the fucking context was, but I loved it. Shut up.
Silly woman. That's so good.
But yeah, no, I'm totally obsessed with this. Like, I don't know. It's just so fucking interesting. And I think largely what it is it's this idea of like, even in the middle of fucking nowhere, killing somebody and getting away with it is just so like, especially with something with this much fucking attention.
Yeah,
it's gonna be and I do think that the FBI, because like, the FBI is also doing like investigating it, and so I'm curious to see. Because I think the public knows very little right now.
Yeah.
So I think they, but like that's the thing that I was thinking. Because like if they knew that he sent the text message on the 30th, he would have already been arrested, right?
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe that maybe he didn't, you know. So I don't know. I'm gonna keep my eyes on it, but yeah, that's about all I got.
Yeah. Same here. It's a very interesting case, and we'll update when it updates.
All right, well, we love you all, and we will seem We'll see. I was reading something and I had to test my brain. Well, we will see you next Saturday at 3.
Yes, see you guys next week.
Yeah, back to the normal times. Sorry
about that. Yes, bye-bye.